voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. Thanks for being here this morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing fine, thank you. You're hearing a lot from doctors this week. They keep saying the peak of Omicron is coming. What can you tell us this morning? Because, of course, a lot of people are like, well, we want to hear from Dr. Brown if this peak is really coming.
Yes, it is coming. It may be here. It definitely looks like we're seeing a decrease in the number of people who are actually coming in and being hospitalized, and a percentage of positives. So if you notice yesterday, we've gone down from 23% to 21% positivity. So that's a really good sign.
So how do you get to a peak? Besides hiking one, how do you get to a COVID peak?
Sure.
You know, because we hear about these variants peaking and then sort of fizzing out.
Sure. There is some complexity and some simplicity to it. I'll go with the simplicity aspect of it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So really, if you think about it, if you calculate out the amount of time it takes for someone to develop the infection, you calculate the amount of time that, or you can actually guesstimate on the amount of time that it takes to get infection, then there's usually about a week delay after that in which you're going to see some hospitalization. So we know the course of illness on average, if you get an exposure, you're usually sick in about 5 days. If you're going to get really sick, it's going to be probably around 10 to 15 days. If you get really sick, that leads to a hospitalization, and that can last for quite a period of time. Most people who are vaccinated end up finishing after that sort of five-day period. So that means for most people in the population, it's probably going to be about a 10-day cycle. So we can say that initially we had the Christmas uptick, mm-hmm. and now we're probably seeing the end of the New Year's uptick.
Okay.
So if you think, kind of calculate it back, so you're going to see you're going to start seeing a lot of hospital admissions last week, the week before, and maybe even touching into this week, and then you're going to see it going down. The other thing that is really important about this is how infectious it is, because a lot of people get sick. And if you think about this, I mean, if there's 20 people who get sick and they're all vaccinated, 5 days later, majority of those are fine, mm. and they can't get reinfected. And they're basically getting a sort of a natural booster, since they've been vaccinated. So the next 90 days should be really good for us.
So that's what I was going to kind of gear towards, Dr. Brown. Are we nearing more of a herd immunity because so many people will have natural immunity now?
We are. I think, you know, predicting a peak is one thing to say, okay, this is where it's probably going to land sometime around this week, if it hasn't already. But then there's the other aspect of, you know, is this going to be sort of the last uptick? Historically, it's very similar to what occurred in 1918, where 2 years later, there was an uptick, there wasn't a lot of death. There was a lot of people who ended up getting sick, and then it sort of disappeared and went back into the regular normal cycle of the flu. Now, coronavirus is different from the flu, and that's probably why a lot of experts are sort of debating what's the next step. But yes, absolutely, this is where we're getting to the point where herd immunity should be kicking in. And again, if we calculate now the 90 days from here, you're starting to talk about spring. Summer, we've been seeing quite a decrease during, you know, every summer that we've had COVID, and that means next October is going to be the big deciding factor, so next fall.
So we're talking to Dr. Fred Brown this morning. He's our infectious disease expert on the show. So that's the thing I'm wondering, Dr. Brown, is we know that COVID is probably never going to go anywhere, because we've talked a lot about that on the show.
Correct.
But the idea
Correct.
Of living in a pandemic, that could be gone because so many people have gotten infected. Like, dare I say, because it's a horrible thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyways, it might be the one blessing in disguise,
right,
getting the
right.
Omicron variant. Maybe. I don't know. I feel bad saying that.
It actually, I know it does. And from a population study standpoint, that actually is kind of correct. If you think about it, in 1918, or I guess 19, 1920, 2 years after, there was no vaccine. There was no medication. But everybody went on. We're hoping that that's it. And again, everything that I sort of mentioned is theory. But personally, from my expertise, sounds like it, these are good signs that we may have met herd immunity just because so many people have been, have been infected. Even though they've been infected, it's actually good because a lot of people, if they get it, it's been very mild, which is great in kind of all ages. The kicker in this is the unvaccinated. And I know those who are unvaccinated hate to hear this, but they are still at the highest risk. And they would be sort of, from the healthcare standpoint, we have the most concern about them. We are still seeing people dying. We have seen, 20-year-olds to and up that have actually died or are dying from the infection, and they have not been vaccinated. So this is not, do not get vaccinated. This is, if you're not vaccinated, you're still at risk, and you could potentially still be at risk later on. So it's really a big plug to get vaccinated.
I'm curious, Dr. Brown, because you'll hear this sometimes, and for whatever reason people say it, but sometimes those who do not want to get vaccinated will say it's actually those who are vaccinated getting us sick because we are injecting ourselves essentially with stuff to battle COVID. And that's sort of their argument that, if you are vaccinated, you are actually getting other people sick. Do we have any proof to that statement?
It's actually interesting. I mean, listen, there's a lot of theories that are out there. I've heard tons of theories on sort of the pros and cons of not getting vaccinated. Honestly, there really is very few cons, because ultimately it prevents you from dying. So that's the biggest pro. And again, I think that's the concern. Now, the virus, and you've been excellent in this aspect. You've said from the beginning that the vaccine is a tool. Mm-hmm. It's not going to stop a virus. A virus needs to live out its life cycle. That's what it does. A vaccine is just a way to boost our immune system to be aware that this virus is coming and we need to fight it off. And that's exactly what we're seeing, is people who are vaccinated are ending up getting the virus, which happens. We know that happens. We know that from the flu that it happens. Mm-hmm. So we know that it happens, but we fight it off. And it turns out to be, instead of being a several week fight for your life, to a 5 week cold, and that's so it's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. People who are vaccinated, just like people who are unvaccinated, can pick up the virus. And if they pick up the virus, if you have the virus, you can spread the virus. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the important aspect of it, is it is still a virus. It's still going to do what it does. If you get infected with the virus, you still can spread that virus. Just it's a shorter period of time. You don't have enough virus to spread it. It's less likely to get, but again, it still does what it does.
Chatting with Dr. Brown this morning, let's turn the conversation to masks. So, Dr. Brown, we're talking about counterfeit KN95 masks. According to the CDC, they're saying about 60% of the masks you're buying online are fake, and you're getting duped buying these masks. So first and foremost, because I want to just make sure it's very clear, I do know the difference between a KN95 mask versus an N95. Like, I know one is produced in the U.S., has the federal approval, the other one is being made overseas. Like, I understand that. But could you just explain to us the material difference? What is the difference if you were to find an N95 masks like the ones you guys wear versus if you were to buy the ones we're finding online?
Absolutely. So, honestly, they shouldn't be that different. The material that is used, there's usually a little bit of the design difference, but ultimately the material that is used should be a filtering material. And it really is the testing process that becomes the most important aspect of it. So it has to be able to filter basically 95% of the particles through that mask. So you have to have that filter. That's why it's called an N95. The problem is exactly what you said, is that where is it certified? So an N95 in the United States has to go through NIOSH, which is the national recognition for this product, and then KN95 is going through a Chinese or Asian review And again, that makes it a little difficult when you order it online. So again, the material itself and designs are a little bit different. I mean, some of the ways that you can detect if it's fake, one of the big ones, I got to tell you, is probably if it has ear loops, then it's definitely fake.
Really?
Yeah. So if you have a KN95 or even an N95, they say it's there, and there's ear loops, that's actually not a thing. It is straps that go around your head.
You have to tie them around your head.
You have to tie them. Usually it's not even tie. Usually they actually do strap.
Oh, like almost like a rubber band strap. Behind.
Almost like a rubber band strap. Correct.
Okay. All right. That's good to know, because I've definitely seen the KN95s with the ear loops. And yes. Okay. That's interesting.
So I think that's the easiest one. I mean, there are other ways. I mean, there's no markings. And, you know, if it's an N95, they have to have the NIOSH marking on it. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be sort of those numbers that are associated with it. But I think that's the biggest one that I would say is easiest for listeners to say if it's got ear loops, it's not a KN95 or a real KN95. It's definitely not an N95.
At this point, Dr. Brown, who determines the kind of masks that you guys, the doctors, wear? Like, who's giving you the information about what masks to wear, what you recommend to people? You know, who's that entity or that arbiter, if you will?
So right now, we actually follow CDC guidelines, and then the Connecticut DPH help guide us in what masks to wear versus, you know, the paper masks or the N95s. If we do order N95s, and I could tell you that most hospitals have moved to N95s, we really don't use KN95s. I mean, if there's a shortage, then we will have to. But in general, we use the N95s, and those actually have to go through certified dealers. So we have to go through our medical management and purchased through the hospitals, you know, basically guaranteed network. So they have to be certified to actually even distribute to us.
I mean, are N95s even accessible for people at this point? Or do we basically, I mean, if you're not a doctor, are we basically only able to get the KN95 at this point? Because I would imagine they're at high demand, especially with Omicron.
They are at high demand, and there is some concerns that I express to people about N95s. N95s, when they're used appropriately and properly fitted, they actually are tested for us. So anyone who wears an N95 in a healthcare setting actually has to go through a test to make sure that it fits properly and that we know how to wear them. There should be no smell. We actually do something called a saccharin test. We actually put a hood over our heads and then release some saccharin while we're wearing a mask. If you can smell that saccharin, then it's not working. These are very well tight-fitting masks. So that's the appropriate way to wear an N95. I can say that the majority of people outside of healthcare settings are probably not wearing it correctly, because if they are, it's not a very comfortable mask. Mm-hmm. Most people, even in healthcare, and I've been wearing these, I mean, as an infectious disease doc, we wear them for a couple different diseases. So I've been wearing them, you know, my entire career.
Right.
I can tell you they're very uncomfortable. They're hard to talk in. They're hard to breathe in. And that means they're the right ones. So I can't imagine people sort of wearing them and saying, you know, wearing one all day. I have a hard time wearing one for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've been wearing them for decades.
Right.
So there really is a big difference between what's being there. This is why I am a big proponent, if you're concerned, you know, double mask, the paper mask. It's really about having something that fits across. You're more comfortable. You're less likely to break that barrier. You know, if you have an N95 or a KN95 and you're having a harder time breathing, you're going to start taking that mask off, sliding under your chin, you know, opening up the bottom so you can speak to people. That sort of defeats the purpose. And honestly, if you can imagine, if you have something that's really tight that's on your face, right, that's blocking all these particles, as soon as you lift it up, all those particles are just rushing out,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to sort of a paper mask, which you have more airflow. It's not as tight.
I actually remember before the CDC last year during Delta, when they were like double mask and everything, you were one of the first doctors who said, you know, would I trust only a paper mask? Absolutely. But would I, you know, with the cloth masks, you were like, I would maybe have that barrier. I remember you saying that. You were like, this is the better alternative than wanting a doctor's mask. Because we've gone through this before where people want the doctor's masks because they're scared. And I understand that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you would still recommend at this point double masking, not even just the cloth.
I would. I mean, I think, as I said, I think that if you're concerned, I think regular masks that we're wearing, the black mask, the blue mask, the yellow mask, the paper mask that we wear, I think are perfectly fine. If you are concerned, instead of going to a KN95, double mask, wear two papers. You'll be able to breathe better. You'll make sure that it's more secure. I would, and again, this is my personal opinion, I would go that way in the general public as opposed to wearing a KN95 or N95.
Well, and you also know that you're not getting duped because, my God, you could find those paper masks at any pharmacy. You could find them even at, like, a paper store, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, you could find
yeah.
them anywhere. And then cloth masks, if you want to do that, you could find those also anywhere. So at least you know you're not being scammed either with the KN95s. So
the statistics are still there. Is that still, if two people are wearing masks, if two people are still wearing masks, the likelihood to spread any COVID-19 is still less than 1%. It's very low.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not the mask that becomes the issue. It's the when we relax back. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do this, but when we relax a little bit and then we have our family gatherings, our friend gatherings, that becomes an issue. I mean, we need to be more like you, Melissa, where we say, you know, just kind of nod at people, don't, no hugging, no kissing. I mean, honestly, that's sort of what we need to do when we're dealing with something like this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many people would want to be like me, but I do appreciate that you are very complimentary to me. And I just love you for that and many other things, of course, Dr. Brown. Well, Dr. Brown, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I did want to talk about at-home tests, but we could certainly dive into that next week. Dr. Brown is here each and every week taking our COVID questions and concerns. And I don't know what we would do without you. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome, Melissa. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks. You too.